Last week we started a new series for the year called Tipping the King. If you weren't with us, then let me just sum it up very quickly. We're taking a few weeks in January and February to ask the question, what would it look like if as a church, instead of tipping the king with our leftovers, we honored the king with things up front? Good? Like, why didn't you say it that quickly last week? Last week, I had a table here, and we had a jar, and we put in big rocks first, and then we added little pebbles, we added sand, we did all that till it was full. And the point last week was that the rock comes first. Ironically, was it Monday night that you texted me? You're like, the season premiere, was it WWE, whatever, the very first, and guess who the first person out was? The Rock. Yeah, and so he sent me this image of The Rock, and he was like, you're a prophet. And I was like, yes, I know. And I texted back, get right with the Lord. No, I didn't. That's so cool. But the Rock, Jesus, he comes first. And so this was your key takeaway from last week, that we talk a lot about organizing our priorities, right? And I mentioned to y'all last week that that was not even a thing until about 1940-ish, that for 500 years before that, the word for priorities that we know is actually priority. It's singular. You would not ask somebody, hey, do you have your priorities in order? You would say, what's your priority? What do you live for? What's your reason, your purpose? And so I said last week, Jesus needs to be our priority, right? He needs to be our one thing. The rock comes first. And if we put the rock in first, that's the foundation that we build on. So for the next few weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some spiritual disciplines, right? That if we've put Jesus first, if we've put the rock in first, and we're building our lives on top of that rock, then there are some spiritual disciplines that I believe, you're not supposed to use the word should. I don't know what a better word would be. Should. Some things that should, fruit that should flow from our lives if we've put the king first. Does that make sense? I told you when we started the series that at some point all of us would be uncomfortable. And it's because you can't hide. I can't hide. Like, we're talking about fruit. And so if you look at a tree, you can tell right away if there's fruit or not. And if it should be bearing fruit and it's not, something's wrong. And that's kind of how these next few weeks are going to be. This morning, oh, I know you're so excited. We're going to talk about the spiritual discipline of tithing. See? Somebody's already trying to get out of the service. Okay, you're good. You're good. Let me say, I don't think you heard me. We're talking about the spiritual discipline of tithing. Oh, you did hear me. Okay, that's exactly the response I expected. I want to be really, really clear. We're not talking about the spiritual discipline of giving. We're talking about the spiritual discipline of tithing. There is a difference. Can we get that picture up there? Will it work? I tried to put it in there. Let's see. How many of you are having a panic attack right now? Anybody here have tip fatigue? Is it just me? Like, I feel like no matter what people do, they're doing that. Hey, and now I'm going to ask you this question. I'll just leave this with you. There's a lot of science behind those tip screens. I'm not going to go into it right now. But I will say this, there's a reason why you have three options. They know you're never going to pick the highest one. They know if they put three options, you're almost always going to go in the middle. There's actually a study where cab drivers in New York City they would present a tip screen and they would get 10% tips. And when they changed the tip screen to include, I think it was like 15, 25 and 30. They put like this ridiculous number at the top knowing that nobody would ever get it. Then in 1 year, the average tip for cab drivers in New York went from 10% to 22%. Just by adding a ridiculous third option that nobody would ever click, but also people didn't want to feel like a scapegoat or like a cheapskate, so they would never pick the small one. They would always go in the middle. 10 to 22%. I show you that screen for one reason. The world has a way to raise money. It's called manipulation. just want to make sure, let me say that again. The world has a way to raise money. It's called manipulation. It's brain science. They actually do research to figure out how to get us to give more. And this morning is not that. This is not our church trying to manipulate you into giving more money. If we wanted to do that, I would actually make sure that we had installed, instead of containers that you can drop an offering into, I would have ushers at the door showing you a tip screen. Every Sunday. I might stand next to the tip screen. I might be like, hey, before you leave, I just want you to tell me, how do you think I did today? Just watch while you touch the middle one, right? We'll circle back to that at the end, but let me just tease you a little bit. If we did that, you have no idea how much more money would flow through this church. If we just presented you with the option to obey. Okay, that got heavy. Would you like to come to give a testimony? Do you mind doing that? I mean, I think stories are great. And this morning, it's not going to feel like preaching, so everybody take a deep breath. Tell the person next to you, he only sounds mad, he's not. Right? This is really, this morning's going to be teaching. A lot of teaching. My goal this morning is to show you the tithe in Scripture, and then let you and the Holy Spirit work it out. Is that cool? You're like, actually, I think it might be better if you would yell at me, not the Holy Spirit. Right? No, nobody's going to be doing any yelling. I want you to hear some stories about how giving and just hearing the Holy Spirit, being generous, what God can do in your life when that happens. Okay? Is that cool? Do y'all know Wes? Yes. I know. He's up here every Sunday.
Hey. Okay, I told Pastor this morning. Okay, a little backstory. I'm in the home building industry, so I build homes, and we have two sales agents that work in the neighborhood. And the one sales agent is the top one in the company. She was making buku's amount of money and stuff like that. Anyways, she was very nice. The first year I was there, Christmas came around, and she sent me a giant box of Omaha steaks for Christmas as like a present, you know, because I helped her make a good bit amount of money. So, but it was awesome. I love steaks. It had the little apple fritters in it. It had, I mean, all kinds of stuff. Anyways, I'm getting hungry. It's only 10:05. So she left in November to work for another builder, and in my mind I'm going, man, it's kind of really killing on them Omaha steaks this year. Oh well. And then you kind of just move on, right? It's that thought in your head. It's like, I gotta buy my own steaks. They're a lot smaller when That's the backstory that kind of helps with this. So the other night, my three girls, my wife, and my two beautiful daughters out on a date, and they wanted sushi. So we went and got sushi. And this awesome waitress just came up just as bubbly as you could be, and you could just sense the presence of God all over her. She was like, I'm blessed and highly favored. Said, we're children of God. I mean, she used all them sayings, right? Man, she was just so happy. So happy. She joked around with us and this. And man, I think, man, I'm gonna tip her. I'm going to tip her good. And I told Kelly that when we were waiting on the food. And she said, well, so what are you thinking, 50? That's the exact number I was thinking about. Whenever your wife, men, whenever your wife say exactly what you're thinking, that's the Lord saying, obey. Right? How many men have done that? Yes. Yes, man. Obey. So we did. We were walking out, went and handed it to her, and I think all the kitchen stuff started applauding, like they were just so happy for her, right? And as we're walking out, she's tearing up, and we didn't do it for that. We felt the Lord said, bless her. So we blessed her. 2 days later, I got a box of Omaha steaks. Now, y'all laugh. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe God orchestrates. I believe God sets things in motion, waiting for you to obey. God's already got a plan to bless you once you obey. So I think I paid $50 for a box of Omaha steaks. Obedience was the real thing.
How many of you have had Omaha steaks before? You're going to be tipping your servers really well today. So that was probably already on its way to your house when you had this, like, 50, right? How many of you have ever had a delivery service miss your house? I have. Like, we do, like, the neighbor thing, like, hey, have y'all gotten something for us? Because we got something for you. And we swap in the yard. Just think about this. If that was already on the way, and they said, 50, let's just give her 10. I think your neighbors might have been enjoying some Omaha steaks. Right? God controls a lot of things, y'all. And it's not a guarantee that if you tip today, you'll get Omaha steaks. That's not the point of today. Let me tell you the point of today. When it comes to money, people tend to be one of two things, stressed or blessed. And I don't mean blessing like all the money in the world. I mean at peace. At peace. And people that are stressed are in pieces, right? I don't know which one describes you. I see a couple of y'all like shooting a glance at the person next to you. Yeah, we're stressed. When it comes to finances, people tend to be one of those two things, blessed or stressed. This morning, my job, my goal was that you would be blessed because of the way that you give. I didn't say rich, I just said blessed. The Bible says that your soul, you would be blessed even as your soul is blessed, that you would prosper even as your soul prospers, right? So this is about putting ourselves in a position where we are in peace with God, shalom. And when, man, I don't know, I've balanced my checkbook before, and we don't have checkbooks anymore, but back in the day when we did that stuff, I can remember balancing it and not having enough money and not panicking. That's the blessed I'm talking about, right? Because I knew that I had a God that would take care of us because we were doing what he had asked. So some of you don't like it when churches talk about money. I get it. We probably don't talk about money enough here at the church. That's my bad. Forgive me for not helping you mature. But the Bible speaks about money a lot. 25%, that's 1 out of 4. 25% of the times that Jesus spoke while he was walking the planet were about money and resources. The Bible speaks 5 times more about money than it does about prayer. Y'all think prayer is important? And faith. We talk about prayer and faith all the time. The Bible talks 5 times more about money than it does prayer and faith. So, I'm going to ask you to forgive me right up front for doing you a disservice. For not helping us mature as a body. And you'll hear this at the end. Our church is not terrible at giving. Right, John? Yeah, y'all give. So this is not... You might have been in church where you've seen a pastor get up and be like frantic and yelling and screaming and you better start or we're going to do this. That's not this message at all. You guys give. I think God wants to take us to a different level, right? So let's talk about this. Let's talk about why does God talk about money? Here's the first reason. He knows that the heart and money are connected. I think it was Charles Spurgeon. He was a famous preacher. He made this statement one time. He said, a man's wallet is the last thing to get saved. He said, men get into the baptism tank to get baptized, and they hold their wallets up above the water, right? Man, we hold on to those things. We clutch our resources. The Bible says in Matthew 6:21 that where we put our heart reveals where we put our money reveals where we've put our heart. Where your heart is, your treasure will be also. So our giving, our spending reveals what we're passionate about. Matthew 6:24, Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You have to make a choice. He said, you can't serve God and money. You have to make a choice. It's one or the other. So let's get really practical. We're asked this question. What is the tithe? Where is it in the Bible? Is it in the Bible? What happens when we tithe? And then let's talk about why don't we? Okay, y'all good? If you're a note taker, get your pen ready. What is the tithe? It's the first 10% of what we receive. So what comes into our house, this, I'm just so glad that God made it easy to do math, right? Like, what if he had said, the tithe is 7.683%? That sounds like the government, doesn't it? Just make it really hard so you can give me a penalty when I don't do it right. It says 10%, so hey, whatever comes in, take a zero off, or take two zeros off. I'm not even doing the math right. So if it's $100, that's 10. Take one zero off. There we go. Thank you so much for helping me out. I worked it out right in front of y'all. Did you see how I did that? It's amazing. You should have clapped. It's fine. Tough crowd. It's almost like you're clutching your wallet. I would clap, but I've only got one hand free, Pastor. How do I stand when I preach? Was it like this again? I can't remember. Here we go. It's the first 10%. The first 10%. And you've probably heard people talk about, hey, you need to give your tithes. It's not possible to give your tithe. You return it because it's not yours, it's God's. Side note, I love this about God. He's so generous that he lets us keep 90%. Isn't that crazy? 90%. You might have been, I was going to do it again, I decided not to, but years ago we were doing a message on giving, and I had somebody come up on the platform, and they stood right here, and I put 100 bananas in their arms. It's hard to imagine, but it was stacked about this high, and he was like struggling. And I think, Chase, I think you might have been the one that came, you played God that day, and God stood here, and I just took 10 bananas and put them in God's hands. And I was like, hey, do y'all notice how much God lets you keep? We grumble and complain about, oh, 10%, I'll give him 1%. He lets you keep 90. He's a good God. It's not ours. We return it. So where is tithing in the Bible? Here we go. Let's go really fast. All the way back to Genesis chapter 4, you're not going to find the word tithe, but let me read to you a quick story. Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, it's when Cain and Abel, they were brothers, and they both brought an offering to the Lord. And here's what it says, in the course of time, verse 3, Cain brought back some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, and Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, and he didn't look with favor on Cain's. I've always read that story and thought, like, God, why did you like one offering and you didn't like the other? It just seems so arbitrary, doesn't it? And then I found out that phrase, in the course of time, literally means at the end. And so what Cain brought to the Lord literally were leftovers. At the end, he was like, I got some stuff I'll give to God. And Abel brought from the first fruits, the firstborn. Again, not the word tithe, but we see the principle there, right? In the fourth chapter of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 14, Abram encounters a priest. His name is Melchizedek. Not many people name their kids that nowadays. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine in verse 18. And this is what it says. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Then, verse 20 says, Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Why do I mention those two? Because a lot of people are like, hey, we don't have to tithe because that was part of the law. But both of those examples predate the law. They came before the law. This isn't about what the people of God had to do while they were in the wilderness. This is what people of God do. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. It's a fascinating chapter where Jesus is just kind of railing on the religious leaders. Because a lot of people say, well, Jesus never talked about tithing, so I don't have to tithe. This is what Jesus said about tithing. He said, woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices. Now, Wendy loves to cook, right? The tithe is not given to me. The tithe is given to the church. If some of you felt like you wanted to bring some, like, spices and tithe them to the church, feel free to give Wendy some. She would love it, and I would love eating what it makes taste great. That's what they were doing. That you give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Listen to what Jesus says. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. Jesus acknowledged the tithe and encouraged continuing to do it. And we don't have time to go into this, but if you read the Sermon on the Mount, you'll notice that there's a pattern with Jesus. Jesus never, everybody say never? Never lowered Old Testament standards. He always raised them. He said, you've heard it said not to commit adultery. That's the standard. And he said, but I say, man, if you look at a woman with lust, we should probably have an altar call right now. You've heard it was said, do not murder. But I say, if you call a man a fool, he always raises the standard. So there's no way that Jesus was going to come onto the planet and say, hey, you've heard it was said to give the first 10%, but I say, just give it when you feel like it. He always raises the standard. I have no doubt that the tithe is in the Bible. So what happens when we tithe? Some more verses for you. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. That's why a lot of people don't tithe. They're like, I don't have a barn. I don't even know what a vat is. The promise is when you honor God with your first fruits, he will take care of you. When we tithe, we honor the Lord. A lot of people get that wrong, right? I think a lot of people have this idea in their mind that when you give the offering and you all leave, that I back my car up to the door and come in here and open the lock boxes, which I don't have the key for, and somehow I take all the money and put it in my car and drive away happy. Well, that's why Paul's grumpy if the offering's not good, because he didn't get a lot of money. That's not how it works. It comes to the storehouse, and then we do things in the city and in the country and in the world with that. When you tithe, you're not supporting me as a pastor. You're honoring the Lord. When we tithe, Malachi 3:10, when we tithe, we obey the Lord. We've had a lot of discussions about this message. Like, I even told Wendy last night, like, there's a part of me that just wants to be like, it's black and white, right? If you love God, you'll tithe. If you don't tithe, you don't love God. Deal with it. But we're amazingly complicated people. And so there are people in this room who really love Jesus, but don't really give. But you still really love Jesus. But I don't want to overlook the fact that God calls tithing obedience. Obedience gets a really bad rap because we always picture our parents going, you better obey me or else. Did anybody in the room ever have the courage to say to their parents, or else what? I did. Did you get slapped too? Okay, yeah, just checking. Because I got slapped. I think I got double slapped. It was like, boom, boom, and maybe another time, right? But God's not doing that. Again, why does God call us to obedience? It's because he wants to bless us. Obedience is the pathway to peace, which is why back when I would sometimes balance our checkbook after all the bills were paid and go, we don't have enough money, I didn't freak. I mean, it's not a good feeling. I'm not going to be like, hey, let's throw a party. But I had peace because I knew that we had honored God. And because we honored God, even though we didn't have barns and vats, whatever those are, he was going to give us what we needed. And that's what we find in Malachi 3:10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. I'm trying not to go too fast or too slow, but can I just detour here for a second? How much of the tithe? So can I just bust a myth for you? This is back to people that are generous. There's a lot of people that are generous that spread their tithe a lot of places. But that's not the tithe. That's an offering. Because he said to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, so that the storehouse has enough in it to give out. This is a crazy thing, right? Sometimes church people will give a little to the church so that they can give a lot more to nonprofits and ministries. And we have nonprofits and ministries that we support and love. And then they'll expect the church to take the little bit that they gave to the church and then give a lot of that to the same nonprofits and ministries that they just gave their tithe to. Was that confusing? But the way that it's actually supposed to work is the tithe comes into the storehouse, and from that, the storehouse gives to the causes and nonprofits that are important to the house. And if the house doesn't support one that you have a passion for, man, God might have brought you here to help us know the passion for that. Or he may just be like, hey, give them an offering. But don't take my tithe, the whole tithe that goes to the storehouse, and give some of it to that thing. God will bless the ministry because of your generosity, but he won't bless you because that's not tithing. We good? Again, this is not a message about the spiritual discipline of giving, because generosity is a good thing, and we are a very generous church. I'm trying to teach you about the spiritual discipline of tithing, which is the first 10% goes to the storehouse so that the pastor may be well fed. No, so that there would be food in the house to give away. Finishing that verse, he says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. And a lot of us hear that. I've heard people actually say, God wants to bless me so much that I'll have to keep building bigger and bigger houses. But that's not what he said. He said, I want to overwhelm you with blessings that you won't try to build bigger and bigger houses to store it, because you can't. I'm blessing you through. I'm coming through you to bless people around you. So the more that you give, the more that I can give you and give through you. That's the point. I love that it says, test me in this. I had a little bit of a nervous reaction because I didn't like tests in school. But it actually in the Hebrew means to prove. So we're not, I mentioned this last week, that 90-day tithing challenge, I'm not throwing shade at churches that do it. I just don't see it biblically. Well, I'm gonna test God, and if he fails, I'm going to get my money back. It's not test me to see if I'll fail. It's prove that I will do what I said I will do. That, I just had puberty happen right there. That was crazy. Test me in this and see if I will not throw open the windows and pour out a blessing on you that you cannot contain, that you will have to share. That's what he wants to do. When we tithe, we obey the Lord. When we tithe, we receive from the Lord more than we could contain. And I love verses 11 and 12. We rarely read this. He says, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Let's bring that into today's vernacular. That's a big word. It just means language. And let's think of it like this. If I put the Lord first, when I'm putting Him first and when I'm tithing, I believe this will happen. I believe that my shoes can last longer than yours. I believe that He can keep things from being destroyed. Now, granted, we did have to replace the microwave after 2 years. It happens. So this is not like you never have problems. But He says in this verse, what actually happens when we tithe is that other people take notice of something. And what do they take notice of? Man, y'all been walking around that desert for a long time, and I keep noticing that, like, your stuff is lasting longer. Where do you shop? Right? Isn't that what you would ask somebody? Well, I've bought 3 pairs of jeans, and you don't have any holes in yours. Where do you get your jeans? I believe that that's what God does. He displays to the world that He's able to provide for His people when His people put them first, Him first. One more scripture, and we're talking about, again, what happens when we tithe. We honor the Lord, we obey the Lord, we receive from the Lord, we're provided for by the Lord, and then when we tithe, we point people to God through the work of the church. This is really important. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11 is actually what's over each of our offering boxes. I want to read to you the verses that come before it. Paul says this, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly and under compulsion, not the tip screen, right? For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you'll abound in every good work. As it's written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed, that's God, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness so that you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion and through us, Paul speaking about the church, and through us as the church, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. We fail you miserably because we do a really bad job of sharing with you all that our church does in our city with what you give. But that's what this is about. You obey the Lord in your tithing, and that allows us to display His glory to the city in the way that we take food every single month. And I said we, but it's Pastor Bridget, to East Albemarle Elementary to feed students. The way that I'm just going to spitball here, John, you would have a better number, but hundreds of dollars a week is put into and taken from that blessing box out front. When y'all drive up on Sunday morning, you just see a piece of wood, a container. I can't tell you how many times we'll watch that thing get filled up, often by Miss Kelly, and within a day it's gone. The missionaries that we support around the globe, the missionaries that we bring here, and I just say, hey, it's your platform. Here's a mic. Just talk. And how many times have I gotten in front of you and said, if you only brought one offering today, give it to the missionary. God will take care of us. And our heart is to give, y'all. You've seen us do this for 13 years. Because that's what this is about. He blesses you and me on every occasion so that we can always be generous so that through the church, our generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. I think of I think of a time, it was when we first started and we had first moved into this building and somebody had come here asking for help. And I often will ask this question, how'd you find us? Or why? You should never ask that, but I do. Like, why are you here? Why are you asking us for help? And this is exactly what they said. Well, I went to another church here in the downtown area and they told me they don't help people, but if I came to the gathering, you would help us. That's the testimony that you spread to the city when you are generous. So why don't we tithe, y'all? Are y'all good? Do you need a moment? The reason why I say why don't we tithe is because you don't. The numbers prove it. Which is why I said this is an uncomfortable series, because all of us are going to get exposed, right? We're in a safe place, right? Tell the person next to you, it's a safe place. Don't be triggered. But the black and white would say, well, the reason that we don't tithe is because we don't love Jesus. And I just refuse to believe that. I do think it's part of it. I do think that if money follows our heart, then we tend to support the causes that are near and dear to us. And usually we're supporting causes that have helped us. That's a beautiful thing, right? But the flip side of that would mean that our heart's not here. Some people don't tithe because of fear, and I get it. If I give this money, how do I know I'll have enough to pay my bills? Some people don't give because they don't trust God. I'm okay saying this next part. Don't come up to me afterwards and be like, no, really, Pastor, we trust you. But some people don't give to the church because they don't trust the leadership. We have to own that as leaders. If we're not leading in a way that's transparent enough for people to trust us, then they're not going to give. Some people don't give. I hope it's okay to say this. We're just bad with money. And this goes back to the we're complicated people. A lot of us get to the end of the month and we're like, I wish I had more money to give, but this is all I have left, which is why giving God leftovers, tipping the king, requires zero faith. It does require a heart that wants to give, and that's commendable, but faith is only required on the front end, which is why the tithe is the first 10%, because, man, if I give that chunk on the first Sunday after I got paid, God, help me make the 90% work. And I feel like I've done a good job showing you scripturally that he's really good at that. So my response to all of that would be Philippians chapter 4. You can turn there. We're almost done. As a pastor, you're never supposed to mention time. If I can ever get to Philippians, pray for me. I'm closing in on General Electric Power Company. Yeah, there we go. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Generally edgy potato chips. You come up with what you want. Philippians chapter, what did I say, 4? Yeah. So, okay. Why am I missing it? Somebody come finish this message. Okay, Philippians 4:19. There we go. I found it. It's right there in the Bible. And my God will supply how much? All your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. I love that, but as I was reading it, what caught my attention was the context. So if you'll go back up to verse 10, let me just read this whole context for you, okay? I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. Full disclosure. If this is too transparent, I'm praying for you while you listen to me. Again, I know pastors who, if the offering's bad, their whole week is bad. I think that John would attest that I'm not that pastor. I really don't even ask a lot about it. This is not even in response to what I think is bad giving. This is just like, we're just going to talk about it because we need to grow up. But if giving is attached to the heart and giving stops, then the only logical conclusion that I can draw as a pastor is, but wait, I thought they were with us. I thought that they were like shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm, let's go take Jesus to the city with us. But if they're not giving, are they with us? And I was feeling bad about it. You can ask Wendy. We were talking about this last night. I kind of felt bad. It's like, I don't know if I should say that or not because I don't want to manipulate people into giving just so that I'll feel better. And then I read that Paul put it in the Bible. He literally said, I was pretty sure that you were with me, and then I got your gift. And I was like, they're with me. But I already know that God's going to take care of me because he'd already told him the verses before that, hey, I've learned the secret of being content, which is why, spoiler alert, most churches, if they ask you to tithe, should also tithe. And so we have, from the very beginning of our church, said that 15% is our minimum. And so last year, I'm going to give you some numbers at the end. And I didn't know all this when I was preparing the message. So I want you to know I'm not like preaching a response to whatever. But last year, giving was down like about 6%, which probably is pretty good because our, you know, economy, right? Y'all buy groceries and gas too, right? Okay. So we get it. But guess what wasn't down last year? Our giving. We still gave 15% to the city, to missions, to all the things that we support out of what you give. I'll let you do that math. If we gave 15% but giving was down, you can work all that out. But what Paul's saying is, man, I'm not sweating it because my God will take care of my needs and he's going to take care of your needs. As you trust him in this, he will meet your needs. So let me get a couple final thoughts. Again, that context, like what always blows me away about this is we always quote it, my God will provide all your needs. Do you know who said that to the church? A missionary. Paul was a missionary. We asked missionaries to come trust us to support them. And Paul was like, I'm the missionary and I'm just telling you that, listen, he's going to take care of you. He's going to meet your needs. We trust God to provide, and we do put our money where our mouth is. Our church has, even in years past, I think as much as 30 to 35% has gone to missions in a single year out of what's come in. But let's play a math game. We had 132 families give to our church last year. Not 132 people, families. So if I gave and Wendy gave, that's one family. You with me? Are y'all good? Did I lose you at math? I want you to dream with me for a second. 132 families gave to our church in 2024. So we're not going back to like, well, back when people used to. No, that's recent history. And the total that was given to the church was $437,082.56. That again. Oh, the number, $437,082.56. That's pretty close, right, John? $3,311 per family. You should clap for that. That's amazing. Y'all are funny because you're like, I ain't clapping because it's a trick. I know it's a trick. It's not a trick. Y'all are generous people. Should in America, the average Christian gives 2 to 2.5% to the Lord, to the church. I'm sorry, they give that to the church. Some people are giving way more than that to support other things, and they're giving 2.5% to the church. But based on what I just taught you, that 2.5% is 7.5% less than what God asked us to give to the church, right? So I like to play numbers. I hope this makes sense to you. So I'm thrilled about last year. Again, phenomenal. right? And we're able to help so many people, so many families in the Big Give, so many missionaries throughout the world. We're able to do so much with what you give. But check this out. Based on the median salary in Stanley County, I'm going to say a number, okay? Actually, did I put that in here? I didn't. It's $61,000 some odd dollars. It's the median household salary in Stanley County. So if you take all the salaries, right, John? That's like right in the middle of all the salaries. It's $61,000 and some odd dollars per year per family. If you took that much money times the 132 families in our church and did a tithe based on that, our budget would double. Double. Just from Christians saying, I think I'll make 2025 the year that I start to obey the Lord. I start thinking, what could we do with an extra $427,000 a year? John, how many months until the building's paid off? That'd be like a year and a half. It'd be gone. Wow. How many more people could we help with the Big Give? I mean, how many Sundays could we just be like, hey, we bought a bunch of food cards. They're at the door. If you'll just take a $50 grocery card and just give it to somebody this week. Do I need to give you something to that, Pastor? No, you already did. You're tithing. Every 2 years, we'd have an extra $1 million. Extra. Y'all, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but the church is growing. Like, there's more people here than we've had in a long time. There are hurting people that are coming here. You already know about Grief Share. You already know about Embrace Grace. And we got groups that are getting ready to start up. We've got groups that we want to organize so that men can get together with men, women can hang out with women, like we can encourage one another throughout the week. There's so much that can happen through this church. Wait, let me rephrase. It will happen through this church. The question is, are you going to be a part of it? Are you going to be a part of saying, I helped do that? Or are you just going to be like, I don't know who put that together, but that could have been a lot better. Yeah, probably could have with another $500,000 a year. And this isn't even like asking you to give extra. This is asking you to obey God. Just to obey God in the tithe. Now, I'm going to pray. We got to get out of here, right? You need a chance to give. So the way we're going to wrap up this message is I'm going to give you an action step. And your action step is obey the Lord. Prove that he will do what he said he will do. If he will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out on you. And we don't have time to go into all of the what ifs that we're all thinking. I feel like I've done enough of that over the last decade here. I am not the pastor that's going to convince you that if you start to tithe, you're going to open your mailbox tomorrow and get a check or even get Omaha Steak delivered in 2 days. But you might. I can guarantee you this, though. When you obey the Lord in tithing and in the next couple weeks, there will be different rocks. When we obey the Lord, we put ourselves in a position to stand under his blessing so it can flow through us to other people. And sometimes, because he's gracious, he lets us keep some of the blessings. I will close with this story. It's not nearly as good as your Omaha story. Prayer team, can we pray for people? Can we do that? When I get done with this story, we'll just have the prayer team up at the front. And if you want prayer as people are leaving, you can come and just say, lay hands on me and pray for God. Increase my faith so I can trust him with my money. I'll never forget the day that I was pulling out of our driveway. I think Wendy was in the car. I think Sydney was in the car. Maybe, I don't even know if the boys were still there. But we're backing out. I think we're going to go eat Mexican or something because that happens in our family quite a bit. And as we're backing out, I noticed a present in the bushes. Yeah, that's weird, isn't it? I've never had that happen before, but like literally I stopped the car and I was like, do y'all see that? And it was a present. let me highlight this, a present wrapping paper with a bow on top in the bushes. I looked at Wendy and Sydney, I was like, are y'all pranking me right now? And they're like, we have no idea what that's about. So we did what anybody else would do. We stopped the car, got out, and we got the present. We took it inside. We opened it up. It was a Keurig, not just any Keurig. It was a Keurig that had an attachment that you could push a button. I love buttons. And when you pushed it, the milk would go. It had a frother to it. And we were like, I think I looked, I'm trying to remember exactly what I said to Wendy that I can say out loud. I'm pretty sure I can say all the words out loud. I think I said to her, no way. Because we had just asked the Lord, like, we have this Keurig, and it's a great Keurig. It's like, I think it's like a $99, put it in your college dorm room, break it Keurig, and we love it. But God, we'd love to have a Keurig with a frother. And it's not like we probably couldn't have just gone out and bought one. We just didn't. You ever do that? It's not you're broke. You're just kind of lazy. You're like, yeah, this one's good enough. And we, like, opened the box, and it was a frother Keurig thing. I don't even know. It probably had, like, a lot of numbers, whatever. But what? We've had somebody give us an espresso machine. You're going to notice a coffee theme. They gave us an espresso machine. If you've been to our house, you've heard it. It's loud. And we call it the beast because it's big. They gave it to us. They were like, yeah, we got another one, and we just know how much you love coffee, and we just wanted to bless you with this. And we were like, sweet. They said, the only problem is, like, you got to wiggle the thing at the top to make sure the coffee beans get down to the espresso thing or whatever, the grinder. So don't put your fingers too far in, but make sure you wiggle a little bit. And if you do, you're like, you'll have this coffee. Oh, bye-bye Keurig, right? We have an espresso beast. I'm the guy that's curious, so I looked it up on Google to see what it was worth. It's worth $2,400. New. I mean, what they gave us probably wasn't worth, you know, maybe $2,300, but I don't know. But they blessed us with it. God does that, y'all. He blesses us when we bless others. He just blesses us when we obey. We've also been the family that gave our tithes to the Lord, no matter what was going on in our lives, and got really big repair bills that we then actually had to pay. That's kind of a downer testimony, right? But I want to be real with you. This is not a get-rich-quick thing. This is a God said, do it, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to trust him. And I'm going to trust him. So I want to pray that over you. Would you stand? Team, prayer team, come to the front if you'd like. I really do wish there was a... Y'all have been so patient, and you haven't thrown anything sharp. And I really appreciate that. Let me just say this out loud. I feel like I should say it out loud. If this is the kind of message that makes you want to leave the church, whatever church you go to next, God will still require this of you. It's his word. And if you don't come back, I pray that you go to a church where the pastor will at least teach you the word of God, right? Because he wants the body to grow and mature. That's why we have a prayer team, right? Because we're not here to, like, make this hard or make you mad. We just want you to know, like, God's growing us up. Sometime this year, because clearly we can't contain everybody in one service, because God does love to pour out his blessing in such a way that you can't contain it. So at some point this year we'll have a second service, but we can't even really talk about that yet until Seth preaches next week. You're next week, right? Because God wants us also to honor him with our first of time and serving. And see how this is all a body thing? Like, we're so content to just go, hey, if I just give you money, will you do it for me? And God loves his body too much to let us just continue to spectate and hope that God brings even more gifted people to the body to do the work that he called us to do. All right, we're going to pray. While I'm praying, if you would like specific prayer about this or anything, like if you're hearing like, hey, my back hurts, I want to get healed, come to the front, let these people pray for you, right? You got something going on in your personal life and you want prayer, please respond and let them pray. God, I know that this is heavy only because we rarely ever talk about it. And because Charles Spurgeon was right, we do tend to hold on to our money. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But at the end of the day, God, you are worthy of our first fruits. You are worthy of our honor and our obedience. And so I pray for those in the room who have been kind of nudged by your spirit as I've been talking, that as they begin to prove you in the area of tithing, man, I can't wait to hear the stories of how they have increased blessing and peace in their lives. And if you choose to bless them, God, with more money, cars, whatever, I pray that you would also bless them with people in their lives that need those things. That this would be a place, like what that church said, would always be true. We can't help you, but if you'll go to the gathering, those people will help you. And as we put you first, I thank you that you're going to take care of us. And I do pray through our body in 2025 that you would make the name of Jesus famous in this town. That all would hear and know of a Savior who loves them. In your mighty name we pray, Jesus. Amen.